Welcome to the Tech on Toes podcast. We are the home of hospitality tech. Whether you're an operator wanting to untangle your tech or a technology provider wanting to join our community, we are the largest hospitality tech growth platform on the planet. The Tech on Toes podcast is brought to you today by Lightspeed. Lightspeed is the EPOS and payments platform that will help you scale your business at the speed of light. Trusted by over 170,000 businesses worldwide, including Big Mama, Mildred's, Mallow and Cubit House. Lightspeed seamlessly connects to an ecosystem of integrated solutions such as OpenTable, Xero, Muse and many more. Are you ready to take your hospitality business to the next level? With the Lightspeed unified platform, customers can shave seconds off each transaction and increase tips. Need a little support modernizing your tech stack? No problem. Want to scale your business? Get fast funding with Lightspeed Capital. No hidden fees or interest charges. Eligibility criteria and terms and fees apply. Get your demo today at www.lightspeedhq.co.uk/tech on toast. Now sit back and enjoy the show. Welcome to the next episode of Tech on Toast podcast. And today, or tonight, I should say, I'm delighted to be joined by Danielle Wallington, founder of Flockhere.
Hi.
Yes, hello, welcome. You've had a fun journey here today.
I have had a very fun journey, but it's exciting to be here.
It is. Are you peering through the curtain?
I am.
What's going on out there?
There's a slide.
I've had to draw the curtains because it's mad busy here tonight. There's like loads going on. And it's your first time here, right?
It's my first time here, but as soon as I saw the slide, I was like, there's a bar where we can come and take the kids.
Yes, you can get battered while they go. Not that I would presume you do that with children, obviously being a responsible mother.
Of course not.
But you can arrive on the last, I think Tenzo, was an episode with Tenzo, and the guy that owns Tenzo, he was the first podcast guest to arrive by slide. Yeah, and he was very pleased with himself.
I want to do that now.
Popped out. And if you've been on the slide, or you haven't, I've been on the slide, I don't quite gracefully come out of it. I kind of get stuck. It's just a bit embarrassing, just a bit middle-aged.
I need to do that before I leave.
Yes, well, okay. You've got a jumper on, you might slide down nicely.
I'll just go flat.
I need to wear the correct clothing. Anyway, welcome. Tell us a little bit about you before we get into everything. So Flockhere's kind of been a journey, right?
You could say that, yep.
So tell us a little bit about your background before we get into that.
Okay, so my background was in events management. So I was running events in the corporate world, specifically the education sector, just before I had my child. So I was running big leadership conferences for head teachers.
Oh, wow. And
it was amazing. I absolutely loved it. But obviously I became pregnant and I had this idea. I don't know where it came from because I've never been entrepreneurial at all. I was always quite happy and comfortable in my job. I just thought, I'm going to do so. I don't know what it is, but I've got this. I'm going to have an idea and I'm going to start a business. And I think my colleagues were like, she's a little bit hormonal. We'll just agree with her.
Just nod and
we'll
smile.
We'll just nod and smile. Okay, Danielle. And I had my son. I started to see people online who were feeling very isolated and lonely. They just had their kids. And I felt like I'd completely lost my identity. I didn't really know who I was anymore. I didn't have my job. I was like, what do I do with this little baby? I'm completely clueless. And there were lots of great things around for mums, but they were all focused on the baby. There was nothing really for me. I didn't want to talk about baby poo and how much the kid
relevant,
had been up at
but
night.
Not very interesting.
I just wanted to get a bit of me back, and I thought I could use my events background to maybe organise events for mums that were, you know, not the typical baby events. So we just started to host meetups, and we'd have like anything with, this is going to, what we're talking about before, drinking and parenting is maybe a common theme.
Yeah, that's fine. Roll with it. I can guarantee you, most listeners will buy into it since I've met most of them.
And around the time, I was thinking, I don't want to go back to my job full time. Like, it's impossible. Events are quite long hours and overnight stays and things. So I put a flexible working request in. And unfortunately, it was denied.
Oh.
So I was like, okay, left with, what should I do? Should I just go for this then? So I called it Milk and Fizz because my baby absolutely
already love it.
Drinking milk, and I love drinking Prosecco. So we basically hosted events.
Glad that wasn't the other way around for you.
So we got speakers to come in. We had talks on like careers, on body confidence.
Idea.
And it was amazing. But what was happening was I had lots of events where we had exhibitors and local businesses would come along. And a lot of them were mums who had set up their own business because they were in similar situations. They couldn't go back to their jobs because they had had kids and they were suddenly stuck in this, what do I do next? So there were lots of women setting up their own businesses but didn't have a network around them. And they didn't want to go to the typical 60-second pitches, cringy networking where you kind of have to sell yourself to the room. There wasn't really anything around that was informal and fun. So I thought I could set something up alongside of this. that ended up actually growing a lot quicker than the events. So I had a membership for female founders. I changed the name slightly and called it Milk and Biz.
I was going to call you a rude name there. You bottled it, basically. Oh, yeah. See what I did there? See, yeah. I bottled it. Yeah.
Very okay. good.
Thanks.
And I was running that for 5.5 years.
Oh, wow.
We rebranded to The Kindred because I kind of came away from the whole mum boss thing and mums in yeah. business because I just did not like that at all. But the premise was basically for women that don't like the typical networking, that want to meet other people in business, that just want to have some other people around them. They're not isolated and lonely on their own. So we used to have workshops and speakers come in and we'd host co-working sessions. And that was kind of like our main thing, what we did every week. And that grew. We had them across the UK. And then obviously we went into lockdown.
Yay.
Yay. Fun times. So it kind of grew from there. So I've kind of, everything that Flock Here is going to be, I've kind of been already building it up over the last, 5.5 years. But it's just
without
looking,
knowing, I
without
suppose.
Knowing, yeah. yeah. It's kind of all been in the background because the co-working and bringing people together is something that I've always done. It's just in the form.
And
of
it, is interesting, a mum being defined, isn't it? Because obviously I'm not a mum, I'm
yep.
a dad.
Yep.
But I have three kids and obviously I live with a mum.
Yeah.
This is a great conversation.
Good start,
so
yeah.
Thanks.
That's a different podcast.
Well, she hasn't left me yet. That's good. But I think same, I see it through Kerry that actually when the kids arrive, whilst amazing, and she was so happy, and obviously she's been a great mum, and she's been not gone back to work. She's stayed with them. I've been at work full-time and she hasn't. But I think she was saying to me, particularly they've got to like the 8-9-year-old bit, she felt like it's kind of defined her. That is her
yeah.
life
yeah.
as opposed to... As you literally said last night, we were talking about you, that you were coming on today. We're walking the dog, and it's the only time we talk, really, 8 o'clock at night in a field in Caerphilly.
that is another podcast as well.
Coming soon as a bonus episode. And she said, I wish I'd been entrepreneurial. I wish I'd had the chance to be entrepreneurial. And I think the chance is the key bit I took
yeah.
from that. And I think that's what you're providing, or attempting to provide, right?
Yeah.
Milk and Fizz. If you haven't bottled that, oh God, if you haven't trademarked that, then you need to, because it's a great name. But yeah, I think it is. It's quite, I mean, if not common, nearly every mum would feel like that.
Yeah, definitely. And it's that whole, you're not just a mum, because everything is defined by you being a mother and people referring to you as, Tommy's mum or
yeah.
Scott, it's...
You literally lose your name.
Yeah, you lose your name.
It's
you lose your sanity, your sleep, your name, your
money.
Dignity, your money. The list goes on. But it does define you. So I think it was having all these women being like, actually, I can, have my own identity and my own... And I think very early on of running the business, it was like I was finding myself again and like
yep.
becoming someone. I was like, oh, actually, this is really amazing.
It's a buzz, isn't it? Like
yeah.
to build something, I think, for anyone who's got a normal job, like
yeah.
who works in a job or a career, you still have buzzes in your career, right? Because you'll climb the ladder or you'll do a great thing one day and you'll
yeah.
feel rewarded for that internally. But I think when you're on your own, whilst petrifying,
yeah.
It's actually the highs and lows are much bigger, aren't they?
100%. And you learn so much about yourself as well. It's a whole education.
Well, there's a question. What did you find out about you that you didn't know? I'm not going to go prior to Milk and Fizz.
Yeah.
Because I feel like you're just on a roll at that point. But since, we'll talk about your journey with Flock in
yeah.
a minute, but what have you learned, I suppose, on this journey you've been on from that 5 years, I suppose, that five-year period?
I think my resilience, I think, is the main one. I think especially over the last 18 months or so, I think just being able to, if something really rubbish happens, being able to have a little bit of a cry or, punch something.
Someone.
For someone, yeah. And kind of go, okay, right, we move on from this. What can we do better? Or, kind of learning from things. I think my resilience has definitely been something that I've noticed in me, which I didn't think I had before.
I think that's a real common
yeah.
trait in entrepreneurs, but you are now, I'm afraid.
Yeah, yes.
You just have to accept it, right? It's
have
one of those things. Yeah, you get the badge, like the mum badge.
I'll put it next to it.
Yeah. Still no name, just entrepreneur and mum. Oh, what's that horrible phrase? Mum-trepreneur? Probably offended.
Yeah, sorry.
Anyway, but it's so true, isn't it, that once you get to that, I think understanding how far you can go or
yeah.
how much you can take in terms of pressure,
yes.
probably not a good game to play.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Yeah, I feel it too, right? You just have, there's just something in you that just keeps going, which not everybody has.
It's
kind of a selfish trait as well.
Yeah, no, it is, definitely.
Because you are still a mum,
yes.
put your badge on,
and
you've still got family responsibilities,
yep.
husband, yep. you know, all that stuff. So it becomes, it's yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? That you can, it can suck you away from bit from your normal life.
100%, because it's a whole other world, and only other people who are in that world understand it, don't they? So yeah. friends and family kind of don't get it, and it's really hard because you do feel like you are very like isolated in that world, and people don't really understand it unless they get it.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah,
I got asked by my mother-in-law every Sunday we go there, and she goes, "How's work?" And I look at her and go, "Oh God, do you really want to hear?" Like, and I just go on about the good stuff, right? Yeah. Obviously, I don't tell her. Yeah. The accountant can't find 500 quid's worth of VAT receipts or whatever.
Yeah.
So we talk about the good stuff, and she's just nods, literally like, "I've no idea what you're talking about." Yeah. But I do it anyway. I just play the part anyway. So look, I mean, that was interesting, but what you've done recently has become even more interesting. So where, how did it go from, it was went from Kindred?
The Kindred, yeah.
To Flocker?
Yeah. So we, as I said, we were running co-working meetups, and that was kind of our main, I suppose, benefit really of the membership. And when the co-working events weren't being held, I was contacted all the time by members just saying, "Oh, I've got a meeting in Manchester for the afternoon," or "I'm in town. Do you know somewhere that's really good to work?" Because yeah. they loved obviously being around other people, but just knowing of great places to go and work. And this was obviously pre-COVID, before everyone was working in coffee shops or working from home. And then that just kind of grew. And I thought there's something in this. Obviously, there are lots of places that, you know, recommend where you can go for co-working spaces, but not really a lot of places that could recommend a local high street or, you know, cafes or restaurants. And they were the places that we were co-working in at the very beginning. So I thought there's got to be something where I don't have to physically organise them all the time. Much
me.
As I love them.
Yes.
There must be something that people can just access, some technology where they can see where to work. So the idea was that we would build something a bit of a cross between Tinder and Booking.com. Where
it's got more interesting, Carol.
More interesting. Sense there's a pattern here.
Tinder and alcohol. Good.
Yeah, yeah. Where you could go and work, find somewhere to work. But that's the main part of it, and the whole community aspect is the finding people to work with and building your connections.
Yep.
So the kind of years of working alongside other people and realizing how beneficial co-working is, and working outside of your house and away from the kind of, you know, having that home work life
very
balance.
Hard to work. I built an office in my garage outside of the house.
Yeah,
that's how much I need to get, because yep. you cannot, I don't care what anybody says, whatever you do, even if it's just your partner in or whatever, or your dog even.
Yeah.
My dog doesn't like me talking, and most people know my dog, because any Zoom call, she just hates my voice if I talk. And I don't know what it is, or maybe it's the Zoom call, I don't, but she literally starts spinning.
Yeah.
So I have to let her out, and then she barks. Yeah. So it's just, you can't do it. I just don't.
It's not
I don't
conducive to kind of working environment, is it?
But you've this got, is.
But I mean, well, I can hear people on the slide. It sounds so much fun.
She's like, "I just want to go out there. You're boring me."
There's people bowling.
Yeah, I know. But it's true, isn't it?
I hate working from home.
Yeah.
I can't do it. I get distracted. And especially drop the kids off from school, come back, you've got to tidy the absolute chaos that they've left before they've left.
The whirlwind.
The whirlwind. I've had to sit down, like decompress for 5 minutes first anyway. And then you look around, I've got to tidy that up, put a wash on, I've got to do this. And
I think it's shoes, right? I've never realised we own so many pairs of shoes. They're like kids. We've got 50 pairs. I mean, yeah. hundreds of pairs
yeah.
of shoes.
Just everywhere. Socks,
I don't even know where's
everywhere.
Them. Anyway.
But you need to have that separation,
yeah.
even if it is just having a walk down the road for 5 minutes. So I don't do my best work at home.
It's like revising, I think, when you're a kid, right? If you're going through GCSEs or A-levels, trying to revise, you tidy your bedroom, you do everything, you normally, you know, rearrange your bedroom, whatever it took,
yep.
just not to revise. I think it's just that environment. This is home. This is where you relax.
Yeah,
this
exactly.
is where we fight.
Yeah.
There's no room for working here. So, yeah, so you've started taking on, I suppose, your experiences prior to
yeah.
Flocker and putting them into, and the fact that you focused on females as well, right, rather than just co-working
yeah.
generally.
Yeah.
So tell us a bit more about that.
Yeah, so I mean, obviously my membership before was for females, and I think because of the connection with a lot of my members were new parents or mums who were juggling the childcare or caring responsibilities for older relatives as well. So they were kind of stuck between the school hours and the school run. They didn't have the whole day of working. They might not have had the whole week to work. So they don't want to all necessarily pay for an expensive co-working space, because they're not always going to use the time and day rates to go for somebody somewhere. By the time they've got home from the school run, then they've, you know, they might not get there till 11. They've got to leave at 2. It's like they just didn't.
It's like an added pressure as well, right? If someone's charging by the hour to be somewhere
yeah.
almost, it's like, kind of stress. I'm already stressed thinking about it, but you kind of have to feel like you do your hour, or if you're late, then it's more stress or whatever.
Exactly. And also for people that have got young kids at home, I remember when my son was really little, if we had childcare and I need to get some work done, I can't, like with your dog, I can't work in the house if there are children in the house.
You can rent your own kids to my dog. It's not far.
Very similar, boys.
Rabid.
But just being able to go, all right, I've got 3 hours to get some work done. Where can I go? Just having that and meeting other women who are in similar situations as well, who can kind of, you know, empathise with their situation and, you know, talk about how, you know, distracting it is being at home. So I think it was important for me to make it female only and kind of continue that community that we've already built up, because it is an amazing community that we've got, and so many women can relate to that kind of juggle of, you know.
And I was going to ask you about community, because Tech on Toast is all about the community, actually. Yeah. We wouldn't have it without the people that support us. It's really simple. And I think that's the lesson I learned, that actually, if you're going to build anything, you need an audience. And that sounds obvious, but it's not obvious to everybody, I think. Mm. And I think when you get into it, you realise, I've done things before, we just didn't have a following.
Yeah.
So what's the point?
Yeah.
But I think your community is almost forcing you forward.
100%. I mean, I've from Milk and Fizz back in the day, everything was about community, and I don't do anything now, and I mentor other female founders who are building community-based businesses, because I think community is like everything. It's what everyone should be doing in their business, and I definitely wouldn't be where I am today without my community and my network and people supporting me. So building that and having that engaged, loyal kind of customer base.
Why do you think they follow you? Is it because you've hit a niche, or is it because of the actions you take, or is it a mixture of all of the above, do you think?
Probably all of the above. I think I've been always quite honest. What people say on LinkedIn, building in public.
I love that.
That's the kind of buzzword now, isn't it? But I'm like, well, that's what it's called. That's what I've just been doing.
I saw a picture in your car the other day. Yeah, that was building in public.
Building in my car.
Parking in public.
but I've always just been very honest about what it's been like and my journey and how hard it's been. I've not been, sugarcoating it and saying, this is amazing. Like, running a business is amazing. I've been very honest and open. So I think people have related to that and, if she can do this, maybe I can do this as well. But also, just finding something that doesn't exist specifically for that kind of niche market, I suppose.
And we work with a lot of tech brands doing all kinds of different stuff, actually. And I think one of the things that if I could ever teach or talk to them about is exactly what you just said there, that real, I think when you get big, you kind of become this corporate entity almost, that you just lose your personality.
Yeah.
And in fact, right now, everything is about you. Like, if my designer was building a website for you, he'd be like, we're putting her right in the middle of it, her face. Slap bang in the middle of it, because that's what people care. You are the brand. Mm. And I think when your product is EPOS or, I don't know, workforce manager or something like that, then how do you kind of turn that into a personality? And it's really important that exists, because I think people follow that. I mean, look how many people engage with you when you're talking about, you know, I think, I can't remember, you talked the other day about the journey of crowdfunding, I think it was. Which we should talk about. And I know a few people who have crowdfunded over the years, some really well, some not so well. And I kind of guess, is there a magic formula to it? Is anyone listening in and thinking, I think I would like to do that for my... Why did you crowdfund rather than raise money?
Because, firstly, I wanted to test the product first. I wanted to kind of test the product market fit, see if people actually wanted it before I went down the investment route. But also, I was terrified, quite honestly, of going down. I've heard so many horror stories, especially from female founders. We know that
100%.
2% of VC funding goes to female founders. So I was a little bit apprehensive. And I spoke to a couple of people and somebody suggested crowdfunding. And I kind of originally thought that was something that you did if you were fixing the school roof or raising money for charity. I didn't really think of it as...
Or building an app.
Building an app. but especially, I'd seen crowdfunders for product-based businesses, but nothing for service-based businesses. So, but when we were talking, everything they were saying was kind of everything I'd been doing already over the last few years.
Yeah, because you have that you've got your people around you,
got
right?
Got the people around you, kind of bringing people along the journey with you. And I was like, okay, I think I can do this. So it was kind of a no-brainer in a way. However, not realising how hard the work it was going to be.
It's a lot, isn't it?
A lot. It took over my life for 35 days, which doesn't sound that long.
Yeah, but there's a lot before that as well, right?
Pre-launch is... I do lots of talks, actually. I'm trying to encourage more people to get into crowdfunding because I think it's such an untapped
market.
And
it feels like it's gone No one can see me doing the worm the worm in the background, but it feels like it was a real peak, probably pre-pandemic, maybe, or maybe in the pandemic. There's a lot of crowdfunding going on for people starting off in their garages or wherever.
Yeah.
And then it feels like it's gone off the boil a little bit.
I think there are a lot of initiatives and grants from a lot of the platforms that were offering extra funding when you were doing it during lockdown. But I just don't think people are aware of it. I genuinely don't think people...
Or have expertise
or
in it, right?
Or have expertise.
There's not many consultants, that I suppose, that would help.
That's true.
Yeah, because weirdly, I was involved with a fermentation company.
Oh.
Yeah, no, it was called the Fermentation Station. Scousers. We can make anything. Anyway, and we tried to crowdfund and it was limited. You know, it was all right, but it was, you know, we didn't raise what you did. I'm not even going to go into it.
But you don't know. I work with people now. I kind of offer crowdfunding power hours, and I work with a few people who say, I wish I would have kind of spoken to you right at the beginning of the journey, because you don't know what you don't know. So it's kind of all a learning experience. Yeah. But it was the hardest thing I've ever done, but the most amazing thing that I've ever done.
And what was the... So you were trying to raise money to actually build the app?
Yeah, to build the MVP, so just the first phase of the app, yeah.
And did you get there?
Yes. Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, so we overfunded in the end. So I think I needed about just over 18,000, and we reached just over 21,000.
That's so good. If I had a button to press now with a little clap.
Woo, do a clap.
Yeah. It's really impressive, right? Because I mean, for you personally, that must have felt like a huge achievement.
Yeah.
Because actually, that's the thing I was talking about being a founder, so it's quite lonely.
Yes.
And achieving that, well, most people go, oh, yeah, you did well. You crowdfunded. Everyone crowdfunds. You know, well done.
Yeah.
But for you internally, that must have been like, oh, my God, this is happening.
Yeah. It was amazing. I was a little bit shocked when it actually happened.
Was it quite quick? Did you feel quite early on that this is going to go quite well?
I always had this belief that I was going to do it. I just always knew. I was like, I'm going to do this.
Yeah.
If there was a slight percent chance that I wasn't, because when you're crowdfunding at the beginning, it's always amazing because people are pledging.
Yeah.
And it's like, and then at the end, people do it because it's a kind of limited time. And then the end, the middle is called like the Valley of Death, because
that's pleasant. Let's not spend too much time in the Valley of Death,
because it's just that low, it's that dip. So that's where that's when it's the hardest, because you've got to keep that energy and that motivation up, and you've got to keep talking. Yeah,
and
about
more
it.
So for the people looking in, right? I suppose because they're a bit like fatigued by you on LinkedIn every day.
Yeah, so you've got to have new initiatives. Yep, building in public. Here's me again, building. So it's keeping that momentum up. So the energy that you need and the constant kind of, you're selling all the time, you're talking about it all the time, so that it makes you. You're so bored of your own voice.
You're talking to the master. Everybody is bored of my voice, including
me. You could do crowdfunding.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. I literally could just talk. I should have done that, actually. But yeah, it's interesting. I mean, I've literally just raised investment myself. Not tech investment, as they'll all be listening in with their millions. You know, enough for us to build a different part of the company, because I don't want to take that risk myself.
Yeah.
And it's really interesting what goes into that effort, because it's also not easy. Even when you think you've got it easy because you know someone.
Yes, yeah.
The lawyer work and all the bits in the background and actually realising, do I want to do this?
Is a
big moment, I think, in anyone's entrepreneurial career. And after you built it then, how's it gone? Because you've got your MVP.
Yeah.
You're out kind of telling people, I'm doing this now.
Yeah.
How's it gone since there?
Yeah, so we're hoping to soft launch in the next few weeks in St Albans in Hertfordshire. So the idea is that we launch it in a kind of localised area first, build up the kind of model and the community, and then we will then scale it across.
So you'll
the
activate different cities as you go, or what I love about it, it's not cities, is it?
No, and that was a big thing for me crowdfunding was actually... One of the reasons why people are put off from going to a bigger co-working space, because everything's always in the bigger towns and the cities. There's nothing that kind of connects you to your local community.
And also it's too far from the school run, too far from...
Yeah.
Like, genuinely, it's too far, right? It's like, because by the time you get in there and the traffic's bad, blah, 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 you've got to come home again.
Yeah, you just want somewhere literally, like working from home, but you're 5 minutes down the road. So it's about actually in the smaller towns and villages where there aren't typically the big co-working spaces, is how can we bring that community together.
It's really interesting. So I live in Caerphilly, near Cardiff, and they have a co-working space in the middle of nowhere, literally on this beautiful mountain, and it's like an old building. They've converted it, and I went there to visit it when I was starting my birth job to have a look at how big it was. Unbelievable, packed.
Really,
and I think you kind of not look down on it, but you don't realise the talent that's out there doing their own thing.
Yeah,
or like millions of people who might not be achieving massive things or are about to achieve massive things, but millions of them doing great things. And I think I was quite naive or arrogant to that. And when I first started going to these spaces, going, they've got one here actually. They've got a co-working on the top floor here.
Oh, have they?
It's called the Desk Dogs. Oh, yeah, they'll
I'll
set
go up there.
There
before
but
I
they're
leave.
Hating life today though because it's so loud in here. But I was really shocked, and I think that local community kind of that support they give each other is huge.
Yeah,
And in the valleys, especially in Wales, not Death Valley, in the Welsh valleys, it's huge, right? Everyone really and I genuinely believe they make quite a lot of money out of each other because they all support each other.
Yeah, it's the collaborations and the partnerships. But having that local, like obviously you're on LinkedIn or your other social media, you've got a network online. But having people near to you, where if you are having problems, can we go for a coffee or brainstorm an idea or something? That is like so valuable to people, but we just don't have that.
Do you remember the round table?
Yeah.
I'm not talking about the knights for all the kids listening. But there used to be something called the round table. I don't know if it still does it still exist.
I don't know.
It was like a networking. They used to do like events, like my dad would go to it, for instance.
Yeah.
But I think that you're like the modern, oh God, like I've just, have I just destroyed your company in
is
one
that
minute?
Going under Tinder and booking.com, the modern round table.
The modern round table. No, but that locality of it though, that's what I'm talking about, that because that they're so well funded and so well followed by the community.
Yeah.
And that's basically what you've built.
Yeah. And the idea is to have just lots of mini ones of these all across the UK. So if, you know, there's a flock here community, flock pit within each. Within
flock
each.
Pit, yeah, like that. Yeah. You've got all the flocks going on.
I've said the wrong thing. Sorry, it's the flock spot.
Flock spot.
The flock spit's my internal on the app where I do all of
if
the
admin
stuff.
If you don't have a social post saying who gives a flock in the in the next month, I'll be disappointed. I'll be withdrawing my crowdfunding, even though I didn't do it. Who gives a flock is just...
I've got a list on my diary, on my book, of all the of all the ways that I can use that word because it's just... Yeah,
flocking brilliant.
Yes.
But I know you should have a podcast as well.
Yeah.
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 For sure, that would grow your community 10x, as they say in tech world. And what is it like going forward then? So how do you activate a city? So a town. Mm-hmm. So if you're moving out of St Albans and you're going to Amersham, I've just picked Amersham.
Yes, Amersham. I know Amersham.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
I used to have a girlfriend there years ago. There's only been
I'll
once.
Call her up and say, does she know anyone?
Jo Rankin, if you're listening, I'm sorry. But how do you then go and activate a new community, I suppose?
So we're working at the moment with Flock Here Ambassadors. Haven't thought of a better name for them yet.
Flockers?
We've got flocking lifers. They're lifetime members.
Can't stop.
Once you get started.
Yeah, they're literally on the way home tonight. Just flocking everything.
When we were developing the app, me and the tech guy were literally every new one we thought we're like, oh, that's brilliant, write that one down. We have people that are on the wait list.
Right.
And we have people that are interested in hosting their own meetups in their areas. So we're kind of using their kind of local networks and their communities to where they can recommend places to work. So when we go into a new area, it's basically, have we got, you know, are there a lot of people on the wait list for this town, this community? Then we launch there and they've got somebody there that's kind of hosting it and leading it.
So. And like the wait listing, is that like an oversubscribed thing so people feel like they can't get in, or is that what you're trying
to... No FOMO. No, it genuinely is because it's just not launched yet.
You could have just said yeah.
You know, I did used to do, and I know people say to do that, but I've stopped doing that so much now because I think
it's interesting. I've only ever read one book, which was called Oversubscribed.
I've got that.
Have you got it?
Yeah,
it is really interesting. Yeah. And at the Hard Rock, I used to work at the Hard Rock years ago, and we used to queue people on Park Lane, all the time, all day, even though we had 10, 15 tables free.
Yeah,
you just run that queue all day.
Yeah, they do that at Bicester Village. Yeah. There's always a queue,
and everyone
outside.
Just joined it. I mean, yeah, I wish I had a restaurant that was that busy all the time. But yeah, it was. It is interesting. I think people. It is a. I think queuing is probably a bit past it now because no one wants to queue anymore.
No.
Who wants to queue? It's horrible.
Yeah.
But I think that kind of, I want to get in kind of thing is certainly a thing.
Yeah, and it is. And it's the idea is to create this list so that I know where people in the UK are wanting this app, because all the time people say, when are you going to come here? When are you going to come here? So it's like, well, if you get on the list and I know where you are, then the likelihood is we might come there a bit sooner.
And how do you know it's not going to be like one person and it's, you know, you've got like, do you target deliberately people who've got decent networks and different communities?
People reach out to us.
Right.
So people who are, you know, running their own business and they like the idea of, you know, being able to have their local network, and they obviously they're doing business from it as well, because then they get to make the connections themselves. So people come to us that are interested in hosting and they might already have a network set up. So It's kind of putting it out there. There's so many people that want to do it, which is amazing. But then I'm really impatient because I want to be like everywhere now.
I know they want to do it because we run events as well. We run brunches and we were doing them, I think, 3 times a year. We now do them every month because the demand is there. And it's great. And the same people are starting to turn up. You know, you start to see regular faces and it's really nice. And I actually think there's a real need for smaller...
Intimate events.
I mean, the big ones are great in their own guise, but just to hang out with people and actually speak to someone who you've met before and develop something rather than just go, hey, and walk out.
And that's how community grows, because you'll get, you know, you're those relationships, the connections you make, then the relationships are built. And
they belong to you.
Exactly.
Essentially, or your community.
Yeah.
And how does the app develop from here then? So do you have a CTO or someone who... Do you have a techie person?
I have a techie person.
Or are you the techie person?
I will be doing some techie stuff.
Really?
He's taught me.
Why am I saying it like that?
Some techie stuff.
I did the female thing.
Yeah,
I did. I'm going to edit that bit out.
Keep it in.
No, I'll keep it in. I will keep it in. I promise.
He's given me a book.
Yeah. And a badge. I didn't know you had a tech background. Tell me more.
I did IT at school. I did a GNTQ in IT
because
I failed my GCSEs, so I couldn't do A-levels. So that was like the dumb class.
Because, I was going to spin this, but now you've broken it. But because I met Kim Teo, who's the co-founder at Mr. Yum, and she's in Australia, and she's powerhouse of a female founder. But there aren't, I mean, I've probably met, we've been doing this for 2 years, every week. So every week for nearly 100 episodes. And I've only met, I think, 4 or 5.
Wow.
Yeah. So your 2% in terms of investment is actually happening in the podcast as well.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, I will talk to... I deliberately... So Vic was on last week. Vic Searle was on. So she's out tomorrow. But she recorded last week. And she's the same, right? She proper champions... not just women in tech, but women generally. Yeah. Because you need to listen to her, otherwise she'll punch you. But it's really interesting. And I think they were talking about the fact that it goes back to school. And actually the reason why... there's less women in tech or founders in tech is because we don't address it in school. Would you agree?
100%. I mean, just founders in general. I think when I look back to when I was at school, I didn't have any role models around me. I didn't know any other people that were doing it. I did business studies at school, and I remember it was taught. He was a lovely guy, but he was wearing a suit. He was like the only teacher in the school that wore a suit. Everyone else wore their normal clothes.
In Liverpool, he was going to court, but... on his way.
It could have been. But he was wearing a suit, and it was all very businessy.
Yeah.
And I just thought, this isn't for me. Like, this just isn't for me. I'm not going to be able to do this. I need to be, you know, really good with maths and have this big business case. And I just didn't see that world for me at all. And obviously not doing very well in my GCSEs. And I didn't go to university. So I didn't feel like I was maybe intelligent enough to run my own business. Obviously looking back now, I think there were so many things that obviously got missed, and, you know, undiagnosed ADHD possibly
in the club, and Vic,
and how creative actually I was, and there were so many things that I someone could have come in and said, actually, do you know what, you could use your skills to do this and this. But I think really empowering the younger generation and young girls to be like, you know, there are things that you can do in this world. If you love this, if you're good at this thing, you could make your own business. You don't have to go and work for someone else. And like giving them the confidence to know that they can do that and not make it so demystifying.
It's crazy. I think schools have their eyes shut for years, right? It actually makes me... But my youngest son is autistic, the one I was talking about before. So Nixon is autistic, and he's brilliant. Like, he's so smart. But he's going to struggle in the real world, right?
In the real world,
Because... but maybe not now, because actually the thing I've noticed, that if he'd been me... 30 years ago, then he would definitely got bullied and all that kind of stuff. But his school love him. I mean, they literally adore him. And we're building something at Tech on Toast called Dots, which is Develop Devs of the Future, where we're going to work with autistic kids to help them.
Amazing.
And our partners are going to help them access laptops and whatnot, and just help them code. And not a huge amount, just like 5 or 6 kids a year, but just to understand that actually everyone's got ability. And I think with women, is particularly, because I've got a daughter, and I hear from her that still they're put in a box quite early. Maybe it's not deliberate or whatever the curriculum is. I don't understand it all. But she definitely feels like she's not going to be a business person.
Yeah.
Like, she's saying to me, I'll probably just work with kids. That's what she said to me the other day. And I was like, kind of thing. Because she could do so much more. Not that that's not a good job.
No,
God.
No.
Getting in the realms of thing. But it's interesting, isn't it, that you've found your way, but it's taken you how many years since that point to kind of find your...
Well, it took, I suppose... it took me to the point where I was seeing other people around me similar to me doing it. So it's like, what you can't be, what you can't see. So I didn't know that that was possible for me until I saw someone else. I was like, oh, actually, they're around my age. They've got kids. They're doing it themselves. Maybe I could do it as well. So the more you can surround yourself with people that are doing it, the more encouraged you will be. Because when all you see are men in suits running a business and Alan Sugar doing the apprentice, you know, and all of that stuff. That's
really,
that's basically what I thought it was.
It's really interesting. And that's not changed in 20 odd years either, has it?
Still the same format.
Still those loons getting on that show. I should apply. We should both apply. But no, it is interesting. And I think, well, you're now a role model, right? Regardless of what happens with Flock here, you're a role model because you've done it. Whatever your achievement will be, we'll see, right? But in terms of taking, you know, nothing to this point, it's a massive achievement. I think that other girls can look at you and actually think, or women can look at you and think, wow, I can do that myself. And I think that's a place where I don't think, in tech anyway, from my limited experience over the last 2 years, I just don't see it. They will probably point at family, point at having kids, point at whatever else. But it needs to change.
Yeah, I think just seeing other, I think it literally is just being around other people and knowing that it's possible for you. Because when you don't see yourself, when it's so unrepresentative, you don't think it's possible. So the more you see people, the more you can go to events and see that there are other women. There's lots of like women in tech events, and luckily now I found a group of people who are all kind of developing their own tech apps, and we meet every couple of weeks on Zoom.
Meet and cry together.
We do, and we've got a WhatsApp chat.
Have you, what's it called?
Yeah.
Tell me it's got a Flock in it.
No, it hasn't, because it's not just mine. I literally can't go anywhere without creating some kind of community. So as soon as I found these people, like, we have to like come together. It's called the board.
The board.
The board meeting.
Okay.
Because everyone always talks about board meetings, and we're like, we don't have co-founders. It's just us. A lady was messaging on there the other day. She'd pitched for investment and they didn't get it. So she was talking about what they learned from it, and it's just a really great group.
Absolutely
to be part
crucial.
Because I've got such a big network of founders, but I don't know anyone else that's building tech stuff. So being around other people that kind of get that world is really important.
Yeah, 100%. And I think what Vic did with the WhatsApp group with the marketing was really interesting. That's where it all started for her, and now that's 600 deep, I think, that group, which is, I have to mute it now. It's very busy. but again, really interesting. And for marketers, an absolute godsend, I'd imagine. So yeah, I totally see it. And what happens going forward then? So you're MVP. Well, you're kind of coming out of MVP now.
I can't. It's just a few little bits of code to do, but pretty much done.
And then what happens then? You're soft launch into...
Soft launch in St Albans. And then the idea is to kind of test that out for, you know, a few months, get
feedback.
Do you
have a target? Do you have like...
In terms of people?
Yeah.
Well, we're only going to onboard 200 users in the first phase, just because of the venues that we've got and the events that we're doing, just to kind of test it out. But I really want to just get the most amount of feedback.
And can the community live on there then? Can the community live on the app?
They will do, not for the first phase, they can't. So the first phase is literally the venue directory.
Yeah.
And then the second phase will be the community and the forum. And then being able to kind of locate what other flockers are around in the area near you working. So you can go and kind of say, oh, there's a few people in that.
Sounds like my favourite app, Waze. Have you seen Waze?
No,
you ever use Waze when you're lost in the car? W-A-Z-E.
No.
But everyone's called a Wazer. And when you're driving along, you see these little cartoon characters of the people on the road who are all Wazers anyway.
Oh, I need that, because I'm always getting lost.
Would have helped you today. No, but that's really when you can start, the community will start like looking after itself.
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So the idea is the community really is the MVP. Like Flock here is a community first, and the app is kind of a bonus.
The enabler.
It's the enabler.
Isn't it? It's the thing that's going to make them sticky.
Yeah. Because I want to get as much feedback as possible, and they can then help develop the next phase of the app. So people that are on board at the beginning can then say, actually, this would be really great.
And these people built the app, right? Effectively through crowdfund.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, that's real buy-in.
100%.
Very
cool. Yeah.
Yeah. I might go and do some crowdfund on the way home. How quick can I do it?
You need a little bit more time.
A little bit more prep.
A little bit more.
Oh dear, never mind. Okay, a bit longer. Okay, well look, I think it's fantastic. So for people who want to have a flock in their community.
Yes.
Did I do that right?
Yes.
They want to flock up?
Yeah, a flock spot.
Yeah, flock spot. What do they do? How do they get to the wait list?
So they go on the website, flockhere.app, and there is a wait list. They just join that. Once they've joined that, then we find out where they're based and kind of get some more information.
And they're speaking direct to you?
For the moment, yes.
Love that. That's why I love it. It's so exciting. Because actually, if you're, you know, if you hear this and you then go and sign up, you know that you're dealing with you directly. I think it's so cool. Yeah. I just think it's like, that's the reality of where a great business starts, where the founders, like, you know, sad sometimes when the founders sell, you know, obviously everyone wants an exit and all that exit and that kind of stuff. Well, yeah, we all would like an exit, just from a house, really. But, you know, everyone wants that. But I think when that happens, you lose some of the magic, right? It just changes a little bit. So it's quite nice to be directly dealing with you.
You will directly deal with me. Yes, I'm going to be the one when the first booking is made. I'm going to be the one like getting in my car, like going to sit outside and see if we've turned up.
Yeah, that's just weird. But anybody sees you sitting around outside, it's very odd. And if people want to get hold of you, because you said you do a bit of mentoring for other female founders, not just female founders.
Yes.
Anyone in general, or?
Yeah. So anyone in general, specifically who wants to crowdfund, I can.
Would you call it the Power Hour?
Power Hour.
Love that.
Yes.
Like a gladiator for crowdfunding. But yeah,
how do they
get hold of you?
So LinkedIn, and Instagram as well.
Oh, Insta. Yes, I don't use that. I can't do it. Don't understand it.
It's funny. LinkedIn over the last, well, since I was crowdfunding, really, the last 18 months, 2 years, I've fell in love with again, because it was kind of one of those platforms where I was like, oh no, I've got all of my old colleagues on there, or it's still a CV. And Instagram was my main platform of how I built all my businesses. But now I absolutely love LinkedIn, because the connections you can make on
LinkedIn
there
is everything.
Yeah.
I mean, if Mr. LinkedIn's listening, thank you, my
Mr.
friend.
LinkedIn.
Thank you, because LinkedIn. It is, you're like me, you're doing exactly what I'm doing with a different end product. And I think the community side of that, as we spoke about before, was built in LinkedIn.
Yeah.
That's where I started. Not maybe I didn't build in public as much. I do, I suppose, because I'm on the podcast every week. But yeah, it's really interesting. It's a brilliant app. LinkedIn is a brilliant bit of social media. Well, that's great. Have you got to go far back? You've only got to go to St Albans.
We've
worked out that's closer than Cardiff.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Good.
Yes.
Anything exciting planned for the week?
Oh, what am I doing this week? Well, we've just got back from holiday for 5 days. The kids. So working is my holiday.
I'm
winding down.
Are the kids back at school now? Easter goes on forever.
Yep. Yep, they went back this morning. So I'm now in kind of pre-launch mode. I'm just 3 weeks tomorrow, so.
We're super excited. And when you do launch, make sure you tag us in so we can shout about it to everybody. Yeah. And anybody listening, if you haven't met Danielle yet and you want to, please get in touch. You can find her. What was the wait list again?
Flockhere.app.
Or find her on LinkedIn, Building Publicly. Yeah. And you'll be able to just read. She's on every day. You can't miss her. But it's Dan. It's Danielle Wallington, founder of Flock. We didn't ask about the name. I mean, I know it's quite self-explanatory, but was there anything genius behind it? Am I going to need to cut this bit out?
No, not really. I don't know. It was really hard. Names are really important.
They really
and
are.
It was really difficult to find one. It just kind of, I don't know.
I really like it. I think it's really smart. And I think it's because the stuff you can do with the playfulness of it is really cool.
And that kind of fits into my personality and how I want the brand to come across as well. So I kind of felt like it.
Yeah, you're sure. From what I'd seen before I met you, 100%. It works. So very cool. Look, thank you very much for coming in. Appreciate it. Thank you. I'll let you go and play on the slide now.
I'm going to. Please take a video of me.
I will do. Thanks very much, everyone. See you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.